broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast. Wow, it's already May 14th in the year of our Lord, 2021. Time is just absolutely rocketing by for me. How about you? It is a freedom-loving, fantastic, faith-filled. We're taking America back one heart, one mind, one issue at a time. Friday, this is Liberty Roundtable Live for the 14th of May in the year of our Lord, 2021, hour two at two. And man, have we got a lot of hard-hitting talk at your fingertips. Straight ahead with the good doctor who's in the house, Dr. Scott Bradley, freedomsrisingsun.com. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you very much. We're at the end of another week. You do another day, don't you? You do 6 days a week. So
yes, sir.
This isn't really the end of your work week, if you will, but for a lot of people it is. You know, people might be, you know, at work right now or at home getting ready for the day, whatever they're doing. For them, it's the, you know, the calm before the storm on the weekend, I guess.
My work week usually ends Saturday evening. I lay my head down to rest and I wake up for the first day and celebrate all day with the Lord and my family. And then Monday morning, I hit it hard till Saturday evening, 10 p.m., 11 p.m., about the same, and wrap it up. Do that every week. Done it for decades, and we'll continue to do it till the day I die, I'm sure. A lot of people would say, well, man, Sam, you got to retire and have a great time. Not in the cards for me, my fellow Americans, sad to say, in some ways, but grateful to focus on things of great significance and importance. There's so much to talk about, Doctor. I don't even know where I want to start, but I'll start with, I guess, this. Inflation begins now. From cars to groceries, prices are skyrocketing. We're seeing it everywhere, and the battle is on. They claim it isn't happening, but with the stimulus checks everywhere, with the belligerent spending everywhere, it is in your face, and it is unstoppable. I'm afraid, Doctor. From lumber to groceries, now manipulations on gas in the pipeline, we can get into that. But I'm telling you right now that inflation is rearing its ugly head. Usually inflation's there as a secret robber. In other words, a sinister tax hike behind the scenes. But now it's starting to rear its ugly head, and it's starting to get in your face, Doctor.
Well, there's no question about it. And, of course, inflation is not caused by greedy workers asking for more money. It's caused by an injection of so-called money. It's not really money. But what the Fed is doing with the at the behest and the assistance of the national government, the general government, they're injecting huge amounts of money into the economy. A book I recommend to everybody that I think is wonderful, written by an individual that I have the great respect for, is G. Edward Griffin, the book The Creature from Jekyll Island. I've interviewed G. Edward Griffin, and I found him to be a very engaging, very intelligent, very articulate man. And he exposes much of what we can expect in this, in that book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. I find it's kind of a page-turner. You know, some people read some, you know, these adventure novel kinds of things, like a Tom Clancy novel or something like that, and they think, oh, a book on economics, it's got to be really, really boring. But no, Mr. Griffin makes this a very, very engaging book and very interesting, in my opinion. But, you know, it's something that the Founding Fathers saw. The Founding Fathers understood it. In fact, in August of 1787, there had been a discussion in the convention of 1787 to allow the general government to print money, just unbacked paper money. And it was discussed thoroughly. It was rejected thoroughly. And one of the comments that was made was that it would be as dangerous as the mark of the beast spoken of in the book of Revelation were it to be allowed. And so they understood this. They had gone through this print money willy-nilly kind of thing to pay for their needs, and they called it continental dollar, and the term not worth a continental dollar came to be common in their day. in that, I mean, it took a bag full of 5,000 continental dollars to buy one silver dollar. And, of course, it'll get a lot worse than that here before the time comes. But they had seen that. There were instances of where when debtors tried to pay their money in paper, the people that were owed the money would hide. I mean, it was just that bad. And so the American founding fathers understood this. They knew what real money was. It was specie. It was something that was stamped. It was real metal. And generally the metal was silver, gold, and copper. Copper was mixed in for hardening, plus it was in the pennies. But they understood it. And by the way, I mean, I'm sure that there's probably a lot more we could talk about. A course in economics is not really what a little hour-long dialogue on a radio program is. But the idea that you can create wealth by printing money is something I grasped this concept when I was 5 years old. I don't know why the politicians cannot do so. But the only reason, my opinion...
Hold on. I think the politicians can do so. I think that they've been called out on this over and over and over, and they know the truth. But here's the deal, in my opinion, Doctor, and I want you to really, kind of run with this. Inflation rears its ugly head. From cars to groceries, prices are skyrocketing. Well, listen, why is it hard to stop inflation? Because it creates so many winners. I believe that bureaucrats who want to move us into a global tyranny understand that the way they can do that is by manipulating the currency, by stripping Americans of their wealth. They can feel really wealthy 1 second, and the next second they have no wealth because everything is out of their buying power. So I'll give you an example. Everybody got the stimulus money. Everybody's ready to do building projects. But the price of lumber right now is 5 to 10 times normal and probably won't drop back down anytime soon. Okay, we are starting to see, if they have inflation, all the money they gave us will be wasted in these inflationary realities to where it won't benefit us one iota. But this is the lie of dishonest money that we've known about for well over 100 years in America. And I believe the politicians know this. But there's too much to gain. Inflation creates too many winners. When you pull the lever of government in the favor of the few at the expense of the many, the few get more power. That's what this is about, Doctor.
Well, indeed it is. And twice in the Federalist Papers, Hamilton basically made this statement. I mean, there's two different slight variations of it. A power over a man's subsistence is a power over the man. And so, I mean, the socialists have always understood this. I mean, that's how communism lords over everybody. And socialism is just, one flavor of that. Communism is a flavor of socialism. But that is exactly what's happening. And the reason there's even the small semblance, and it's not small, it's a big semblance of stability right now, I believe, is the fact that the dollar currently is tied to petrodollars, the oil. So there is an intrinsic value product that's out there that people want dollars for. So basically, dollars are traded for oil. Everybody wants oil, and that this agreement was made back in the years of Nixon because he closed the gold window because they were trying to inflate the money, Vietnam and the Great Society and all that kind of stuff had just pumped dollars in. I mean, they're pikers now to look back at what they had done. I mean, this is on steroids now. But at any rate, it's tied to oil, and everybody wants oil. And so the people will absorb the dollars that we're trading right now, that we're printing, that we're creating, and then they'll pay them off for oil. Well, what will happen, and I will predict what will happen, is that when there's a new basket of currency that's used as the basis of this kind of trade, and it becomes kind of a conglomerate of world currencies from which everybody operates, the dollar will not have nearly the value because it's not the exchange, monetary system. And when that happens, the chickens are going to come home to roost, and we'll see what has happened with the many hundreds of trillions of dollars that have been pumped into the economy and absorbed by the economy largely right now, because people are saying, hey, man, bring them dollars on. We're going to trade them for oil, and we're going to be able to heat our houses. We're going to be able to fuel our vehicles. We're going to be able to run our factories, blah, blah, blah. But when the multiple currencies are mixed into the basket and the dollar is, at best, just a percentage of that, then is when the true inflation rate will settle in, and it'll be, sadly to say, we've seen plenty of economies that have done this, whether it's Argentina or Germany or, Venezuela. I mean, you look at these economies that have done the nonsense we're doing, and I'll just give you an example. One of my good friends, when he was in Argentina in the early 70s, they'd go into a restaurant, and their menu would be on a blackboard, and the prices would be there. They would go in, order their food, pay for it immediately, because they knew that before they could finish their meal, the prices would have jumped. The prices would be erased, new prices would be put in. So they would buy it and pay for it before they ate it, because they knew that it would cost them more to get out of the restaurant. And that's how fast it was happening, right before their very eyes. America ain't seen nothing yet, and I fear that the chickens are not far over the horizon. And so, but this willy-nilly run them, just run the table all the time with printing the presses as fast as they can, it can't go on. The bubble will break, and I guess we can come back and talk about what the founder said. I've got lots of statements the founders made about this stuff if you're interested.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm, by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government, and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. So I submit to you that inflation rears its ugly head. We could have predicted this, Dr. Bradley. Whenever they spend money and print money and create money out of thin air, no doubt that's the reality. And inflation has been a hidden tax on the people ever since we jettisoned constitutional currency. And I get that our money's tied to oil, and it is a commodity, but it's not tied a one-for-one ratio like gold and silver was, with a locked relationship between And so it's all over the map. It's a serious problem. Inflation's rearing its ugly head. You can see it in prices everywhere. They can claim it's not a big deal, that they can put a damper on it. They might be able to manipulate it for a time, But eventually, this is going to get away from them. Why is it so hard to stop inflation? Well, there's two reasons. If you accept the fiat money system, it's hard to stop inflation because there's too many winners when inflation happens. Those are the people that want control over you and me and our lives. The real reason it's hard to stop inflation is because you've taken us off of the only honest money standard that exists. That's why, Doctor.
Well, and that's why the dollar was as sound as the dollar for as many years as it was, is because we had true money, real money, and the founders established that. I mean, if you read everything from, you know, the Article 1, Section 8, Clause 5 about the Congress has power to coin money, that has to do with stamping money. It has to do with metal. It does not have anything to do with creating printed paper. And anything that was printed, now, of course, you can write a check and you can draw on, you know, real money. I mean, so if paper's out there that's backed by real money, that wasn't the problem. The problem was that people got so greedy that they could, you know, I can print more money. I'll have more in my bank. I can lend it multiple times in a fractional banking system. I can make money on my money, on my money, on my money so many times that we've basically multiplied the factor of money out there to the point that right now, since 1913, when the Federal Reserve came into existence, we've lost, the dollar has lost about 98%. In fact, it's a little over, if I recall correctly, but about 98% of its purchasing power, which it had back in 1913. So really, we've been robbed of our purchasing power, almost 100%. It's so close, it hardly makes a difference. And it's not done yet. It will collapse, but there are people that are manipulating this. And John Maynard Keynes, I don't know if he's really the father of this perverse system, but there was guys like Mariner Eccles, the Federal Reserve chair. I think he was a Keynesian before Keynes actually promoted the idea, but they call it Keynesian economics. This idea of debt money and creating money out of thin air and multiple loanings of the money. If I got some money and I put it in the bank, they loan that again. And the person that gets that puts it in the bank and they loan that again. I still think I've got my money in the bank. I don't. It's a fractional banking system. And so they keep multiplying the money. So what you're seeing as having been created, you know, by the government debt is multiplied many times over by the banking system we've got. So it's really a scam. And Keynes said that not one in a million people would be able to understand this tax called inflation. So they continued to play the game. And they buy their office by that. I mean, virtually everybody that gets into office now goes in there with the idea of opening the goodie box for the constituency back home. And they play each other's game because each one of them knows if they pat their back, they get their back patted. And so one senator or one congressman says, hey, look, you support mine, I'll support yours. And pretty soon we have these multi-trillion dollar debts that are happening with increasing frequency in America. And it is just, you can only blow the balloon or the bubble or whatever so big. And finally somebody goes, hey, wait. Or the balloon just pops. And, you know, you look back at the tulip frenzy that happened back in Holland, where they were paying bazillions of dollars, not literally, for a tulip bulb. And finally somebody says, these bulbs aren't worth anything. They don't even taste that good, you know. And so absolutely, the whole scam collapsed. So it's coming. The chickens will come into roost. I don't know exactly when it'll be or anything like that. But the founding fathers did know it. They had seen it. They had experienced it. They knew every single time a country had based its money on back paper, every single time it collapsed. Every single time it was abused. It's just too much temptation for those that are controlling the money system to not dabble in it until they break the system. And that's kind of where we are in America today. You talk about, you know, a couple of trillion dollars here and a couple of trillion dollars there for these special projects they're putting out. And then the multiplying factor through the fractional banking system, it just doesn't have a happy ending. You can't go there. And again, we could talk at length about the founders' statements on it because they had wisdom, and they did it, and they did it right. But that's why it was sound as a dollar for so long.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's critical to understand. And now I believe they're manipulating us big time. And I'll give you an interesting example. You know, we talk about oil pipelines, which relates to this discussion big time. And here's the headline. Pipeline, which you know got shut down, supposedly attacked by terrorists or whatever else. Now gas is above $10 a gallon in the southeast in many ways or places. And in some places, you can't even get gas at all for that matter. Joe Biden saying, hey, we got a handle on this. Don't worry, it'll take a little bit for gas prices to come down. But here's the real deal. Here's the behind-the-scenes discussion that needs to happen, Dr. Bradley. Pipeline said to have paid $5 million to the terrorists in Bitcoin. They say to hackers. The payment clears the way, they say, for gas to begin flowing again, but it risks emboldening other criminal groups to take American companies hostage by seizing control of their computers or their automation, etc. This is serious, serious business. And now we've literally paid a massive payment to the bad guys. Now, we got to debate who the bad guys are. Because is it the Federal Reserve that created fake money in the first place? Is it the computer guys that created fake money via digital currency? Is it the people that tied our money to oil to blame? Or is it the current terrorists that have exploited the current exploits, if you will? Doctor?
There are plenty of terrorists out there, and they're not all, you know, behind the scenes carrying AK-47s. I think there's a lot of people in high places in the government today that are acting criminally. But the idea of paying terrorists to back off, it never ends well either. As you point out, emboldening those to say, hey, wait a minute, that worked out pretty good last time. I mean, it's you know, there was an individual I knew, a wonderful, amazing, his name was Spencer W. Kimball. One time in his leadership position, you know, this was in a time when terrorists were taking people hostage and holding them for ransom and all this kind of stuff. And Spencer W. Kimball says, if I get taken hostage, don't pay it. We believe in life after death. I mean, you know, it was like, you know, you take your lumps and you move on. And this kind of thing, you've got to have that kind of strength and position that you will not cow, you will not fold, you will not bow the knee, because there is always another criminal operation out there that's going to play the game. And I think right now you've kind of opened the door. The floodgates may not be open at this point, but I'm pretty concerned that, see, I wasn't aware that they'd actually paid the funds. That is absolutely shocking to me and has got a bad outcome coming down the pipe, I'm afraid. Pipeline, it's coming down the pipe.
No question about it. So here's the next related detail. If you dig into the story, you find this part. Biden did not rule out the possibility that the administration would target the criminals with a, quote, retaliatory strike, saying that the United States would pursue a measure to disrupt their ability to operate. So here's my question. If that's true, if Joe Biden can create a retaliatory strike and prevent those or hamper those or disrupt their ability to operate, whatever word you want to use here, then that means we know who they are, right? If we know who they are, how come we can't create, you know, arrests and, you know, criminal activity? This is interesting because the question becomes, who are they? And if they can be stopped from operating, and if we can know who they are, which is kind of one of the big claims. They say we don't know these things, right? But if they can know those things, as Joe Biden's kind of hinting at, then are we somehow part responsible for not stopping them earlier for other crimes they may have committed? And if it happens again, then what? And so the problem is that there's too many criminals out there, and the problem is you don't even know who are the criminals. Is it the CIA? Is it backed by the CIA? Is it like the CIA that gets in bed with some drug cartels and they got their favorite drug cartels, don't worry, but they're stopping all other drug cartels? So, okay, where does this all go? When we get back, let's have the good doctor respond to this, because to me this is nothing more than an outgrowth of what the Founding Fathers understood already. But the only way to stop is to return to constitutional currency. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Proclaim.
proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Thousands of migrant children have been welcomed by the Biden administration and given to caretakers in the United States as part of the government's program for unaccompanied minors. But no one in the administration knows what's happened to them. The agency in charge will not answer questions about efforts to keep track of these vulnerable children. The Department of Health and Human Services has denied media requests for information about how many kids have gone through the system since President Biden took office. Top Republicans say they hope to find middle ground on some of the White House's top priority issues, including President Biden's infrastructure proposal and the American Families Plan. While speaking to reporters after the meeting, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell said he and other congressional leaders agreed to work on defining what infrastructure is. He said, quote, "I think I'm safe in saying there is certainly a bipartisan desire to get an outcome," end quote. Well, we've made it through another week. Welcome to Friday. We are USA Radio News.
Hello, this is Wayne Alaroot for our newest sponsor, Asset Strategies, or ASI for short. ASI is a precious metals powerhouse. They sell gold and silver. Never in history has there been a more important moment to buy gold and silver. ASI has been in business for 39 years. They've served over 20,000 clients and sold $5 billion worth of gold, silver, and precious metals with zero complaints. Last year, gold saw gains of 25%. Silver nearly doubled gold's performance. Now Democrats are in charge. Green New Deal, open borders, free healthcare for illegals, bail out broke cities and states. The debt is about to go through the stratosphere. The time to buy is now. The owners of ASI, Michael and Rich Chekin, have been my close personal friends for 16 years. ASI is the company I trust when it comes to buying and selling precious metals. Call now to receive a free consultation and a free 1 ounce silver eagle with every qualifying purchase when you mention the Wayne Alaroot Show. Call 800-831-0007. That's 800-831-0007. Or visit assetstrategies.com.
Some interesting facts about the Biden administration's Justice Department. Tim Berg from the Phoenix USA Radio News Bureau reports.
Attorney General Merrick Garland is acknowledging that the Justice Department is prioritizing prosecuting those who participated in the January 6th on the U.S. Capitol over those who rioted and looted during last summer's social justice demonstrations. Garland also saying those zeroing in on the Capitol Hill rioters has not deterred the Justice Department from focusing on other crimes. He also assured lawmakers that the Justice Department isn't prioritizing prosecutions based on ideology. The Justice Department has filed federal charges against more than 300 people stemming from last summer's protests against police brutality. In contrast, federal arrests in the U.S. Capitol attack have surpassed 430.
The Department of Justice says it will not pursue criminal charges against the police officer who fatally shot unarmed Ashley Babbitt participating in the January 6th occupation of the U.S. Capitol. USA Radio News.
All right, so Dr. Bradley with me, ladies and gentlemen. I'm convinced that this is a new era in terrorist activity, ladies and gentlemen. And I submit to you that it's kind of like the war on terrorism, the war on drugs, the war on whatever the government declares war on. It seems to get worse, 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 and more worse. Is that a word? Worser? All I'm telling you is that what's going on. But I submit to you that I don't even know who the bad guys are in this, quote, global oil domestic pipeline disturbance here. When Joe Biden says he's going to, you know, disrupt these folks, he might. He might not. He might let it go, but he might disrupt it. The question is, are we trying to find out who's behind it? If we can we hold them responsible? How does all this look, Doctor?
Well, you hate to say there's something rotten in Denmark, because Denmark's not even the middle of this thing, but there's an old saying that says that. I'm not so sure Biden has a handle on anything, including which room he's in at any given time. But I'm not so sure that they've got this well in hand, as they say. But I'm reminded back to, you always go back. I mean, I do. The lamp I follow is the one with, it shows me from the history. So anyway, back in 1797 and 98, the United States was not a very bold and intrepid country, but we had a lot of pride in ourselves, and we had a potential, and we lived up to that potential ultimately and finally. But there was shenanigans going on with Republican France, and the French Revolution had caused a lot of disastrous diplomatic nonsense. And anyway, it looked like it was a brewing for a war and all that kind of stuff. And the French minister, Talleyrand, decided that he was not going to meet with the American diplomatic crew until they had paid some bribes. And it ticked the Americans off. A couple of them left. One stayed for a while to try and work things out. But anyway, the phrase millions for defense but not 1 cent for tribute was kind of coined at that time. They were going to not pay any bribes. And, this thing that we got leveraged on, or somebody got leveraged on, I don't know who it was, in this oil scam, I'd really truly believe that you're going to get more and more and more of that as you play that out. And so there was a kind of a little backbone showed clear back at the end of the 1790s, and ultimately and finally things got worked out. But the idea that you have to pay payola under the table in some, extortion kind of thing, we're the United States of America. I mean, and we're paying a bunch of gangsters. I mean, I don't know what gangster cartel or whatever it is that's involved in this. I don't know if it's a group from the Middle East or the Far East, or if it's somebody within our own country. I don't know if it's a bunch of high school kids that live in their parents' basement that have put this together. I don't know what it is, because a lot of those kids have hacking skills. But the fact is that we're on a bad path if we're going to follow this path and have to kind of scrape and bow and act that way before common criminals. It's just astonishing to me. And I don't personally believe that the Biden administration has a handle on it. I don't believe that, certainly he doesn't, but I'm not confident that they've even identified the people that are involved. And so it just shows our weakness. Our governance is crumbling, and our economic strength is diminishing, and our status in the world as the greatest, freest, strongest, most happy, most prosperous, most respected nation on earth is slipping through our fingers because we have abandoned the principles the nation was founded on. So this is going to be interesting to see play out. I had not heard that bribes were paid, and so this has a new
dynamic. Yes, they were $5 million, buddy, in Bitcoin. Let's be very clear, too. So now the government's going to have the right to start getting involved in Bitcoin and tracking Bitcoin. And before you know it, then the digital currency will be manipulated and controlled by your government. Just write it down. I warned you about this. Don't dip your toe in the crypto is my phrase. But nevertheless, it's interesting. Now, on the heels of all this, the headline says, despite gains, origin of COVID-19 outbreak is still unknown, USA Today. So we don't know the outbreak. Now, if we say it came from a Wuhan lab, then they say, oh, you don't know that. It came from natural animal to human transmission. We say it was created and funded by Dr. Fauci. Rand Paul doubling down on those kind of an idea now, saying Fauci may have been involved. We may have funded this kind of thing. The debate rages on. They say we're conspiracy theorists for saying that it came from a lab. But the truth is, if they claim that it comes from animal to human transmission and we don't really know, then they're as guilty of conspiracy theories as anybody else. But here's where the rubber meets the road, in my opinion. The announcement to drop the mask mandate for vaccinated Americans, ladies and gentlemen, comes after it was reported that the CDC got caught in a lie. The New York Times reported that the CDC's April announcement that the chance of catching COVID-19 outside was less than 10%. Well, it turns out that number was exaggerated and manipulated by the CDC. The truth instead is it's less than 1%, possibly less than 0.01%. Now even reports the New York Times. Okay? There is not a single documented COVID infection anywhere in the world, ladies and gentlemen, from casual outdoor interactions, such as walking past someone on a street or eating at a nearby table, the New York Times now admits and reports. Well, with that in mind now, Joe Biden then and crew at the CDC released this mask mandate. The announcement to drop the mask mandate. If you're vaccinated, you don't need to wear a mask anymore unless you're on a plane or in real, real, real close quarters. But here's the tweet from Joe. So they used to make fun of Donald for tweeting, but now Joe's starting to pick up the Twitter. Joe Biden issued an ultimatum to Americans after the CDC eased restrictions for vaccinated Americans. The rule is now simple, Joe tweeted. Listen up. Listen up. Get vaccinated or wear a mask until you do, doctor.
Well, you know, there's so much to be said about this facade that's out there, and it's a Fauci facade is what I've always called it since last March, a year ago. This whole thing, they have to start, just follow the logic. The vaccine that isn't a vaccine, it truly isn't in the traditional sense. It doesn't bring immunity and it doesn't prevent spread. And they've been saying all along, oh, yeah, you can get vaccinated, which is not a vaccine. And it's not FDA approved, and it is not anything except for a test right now. And the long-term and short-term downsides are unknown. And what's happening in society today is they're kind of reaching a saturation point. They're having, like DeWine out of Ohio is having to put out a $1 million lottery scam to get people to ante up their, you know, well, roll up their sleeves, I guess. And so what's happening is that a lot, there's a lot of Americans that have kind of said, we're done with this. This is a facade all the way along. And so what they're doing is they're saying, oh, did we say you have to keep wearing a mask? No, you don't. You don't. If you're vaccinated, you don't have to. Well, it's Bravo Sierra, as we used to say in our old military vernacular when with our phonetic alphabet. And what we're finding is literally that there are just it's a moving target, just like anything. Anytime we go to war nowadays, the mission shifts about every nanosecond. And that's where they are right now. Their lie is being exposed constantly. Now, by the way, did you see the Yankees, their fully vaccinated Yankee team members that got COVID? Can you believe that? Well, here we go. It's not stopping. It's not preventing. It's not helping. But what they're doing is they're saying, in order to get everybody vaccinated, we've got to give them a little carrot out there. So you can take your mask off if you're vaccinated, but if not, boy, don't you dare do that. And the lies, that in fact, there's three Republican congressmen that have come up with a bill in Congress, has no chance of getting through the House or the Senate, or certainly not past Biden, that want to fire Fauci for destroying the confidence Americans have in the National Institute of Health and the Center for Disease Control because of the lies. This by guess and by golly that has happened ever since March of 2020 that Fauci and his crew have been playing on us. And there's just a ton of Americans that are saying, we're done. We're done with this. And so they're saying, oh, no, okay, here's their little carrot for us. You can take your mask off. But look at the Yankee thing. During the break, take a look at that. The Yankees were vaccinated, and now they got COVID. What's going on there, kids?
Well, what they're going to say is there's a couple of glitches where even though you take the vaccine before it kicks in, you can still get the cocoa. They're going to manipulate it like that. But Americans are waking up to the truth, and the real core is these vaccine passports. We'll talk about it.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
What do you wish your parents would do to show you they love you?
Take me to Montana.
That I would have a huge slumber party with all the girls there.
Play with me more often. My mom's so busy with the board meeting.
To spend more time together as a family.
Do more out-of-the-house activities.
This is a tough one.
My parents, they do everything they love me. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have a roof over my head.
They don't need to show it to me. I just know they love me.
Well, not yelling at me very much.
What do you wish? What do you wish?
Raise my allowance.
To not argue together.
Have my dad be home more for dinner and stuff so that I could be even closer.
Family, isn't it about time?
Buy me an ice cream and kiss me to love me.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Okay, what's the next question?
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. The real rubber meets the road. I know a lot of people are getting illness from the vaccines. A lot of people are getting the cocoa from the vaccines. I mean, it's a disaster. Bill Mayer even was vaccinated but got COVID. Now Delta Airlines, Delta will require new employees to get the COVID vaccine, CEO says. So the states that are planning on using COVID-19 vaccine passports, and the ones that won't are an interesting discussion. When Joe Biden issues an ultimatum to the people, you know what, get a vaccine or wear a mask until you do, it's really like, A, we're going to shove down your throat. If you're a B guy, we'll tolerate B until we can force you to do A. We're not going to force the vaccines, though, says Anthony Fauci and Joe Biden. On the other hand, if you get Delta and all the big business to jump aboard, and then by force, so what about the cruise lines? That's where they're starting. Will cruises be back in 2021? And will vaccines be mandatory? They're setting the stage for this to be the case right now. What government's trying to do is not take the blame for it, have big business do it for them. And believe it or not, right now they say 60% of U.S. businesses are ready to mandate vaccines for employees. So this vaccine passport thing is live and well. Right now they're calling it a COVID-19 vaccine passport. But over time, it won't just be a COVID-19 passport. It will come back and be a health passport of whether they want you, if you haven't been vaccinated against this or that, or they'll have a treasure trove of vaccines that it relates to. But they'll also back into other issues. In other words, China has this social credit discussion. Where does the vaccine passports end and social credit discussion begin? This is draconian to say the least, but right now, Texas, Idaho, Florida, they're resisting the vaccine passports. On the other hand, California, Illinois, Hawaii, New York, they're doubling down right now. But where does this passport discussion end and where does the social credit discussions that China has forced begin? Time will tell, but that's the open discussion right now. The I would call it the tip of the spear on this tyrannical push, Dr. Bradley.
I don't know where the American backbone is right now. I suspect it's probably about as much as a jellyfish, by and large. But I don't know where the point will happen where Americans are saying we're not going to put up with this. We're going to throw the tea in the harbor. We're going to start drinking coffee instead. I mean, that's exactly what the Americans did back in those days. We're not going to capitulate on this thing. And it may push beyond what happened with that, even as the American issues unfolded. But truly, Utah, for example, says the state won't mandate things, but they're going to, what they've done through the whole COVID issue is they have leveraged businesses to do their dirty work for them. It's been a fascist kind of program where they've gone behind closed doors and told businesses, look, you can't let anybody in your door without a mask on, or we'll fine you $10,000 a day, or we will take away your license for health reasons or whatever. And frankly, there's businesses that I've done business with for 60 years that I will never walk in again, that I've determined that this is not going to define my life in terms of these kinds of strong-arm tactics. And so I personally hope that airlines go out of business. I mean, cruise lines go out of business. And I personally hope that some of these big box stores that are so draconian on this thing start to realize, you know what, people have gone out the back door and we've never had them come back in. But it's such a facade, though. I mean, going back to that Yankee thing for just a minute. You know, everybody's vaccinated. Eight of the people that were vaccinated, more than 14 days, so it's had time to kick in, as they say, oh, yeah, there's a 14-day, you know, approval period for your body, whatever. Eight people tested positive more than 14 days of being fully vaccinated. And here's another interesting statistic. 7 of the 8 cases have been asymptomatic. So here's the deal. That's about the same ratio that was there when the quote-unquote unvaccinated, unwashed herd was out there. Most cases are asymptomatic. It's exactly a reflection of what has been going on for the last year, and the so-called vaccines are doing nothing. And let's talk about these businesses. I mean, I don't know when it's going to happen, but back in, I mean, this is an experiment. This is an experiment. It is not FDA approved. It has not been through testing that's appropriate, and that we have nothing short-term and long-term on that. We have nothing. And these businesses are saying you must take an experimental medical treatment in order to be able to work for us. Well, the Nuremberg trials said, you know, people can't be compelled to be in experimental medical treatments. They came out with protocols that said, no, this is not acceptable. Now they'll say, well, if they want to work with us, they'll accept the probability or the possibility of this downside. And maybe the best people will not work for companies if they can't do that. And maybe, remember Ayn Rand had that group that went off and did their own economy, you know?
Yeah.
And, maybe something like that will happen, where we have our own economy.
But let me tell you what's happening. Are you ready?
Well, I don't know.
Now Joe Biden's pushing for a tax credit. Listen carefully. Under the American Rescue Plan Act, employers with less than 500 employees can receive payroll tax credits for paid time off they give their employees to go take the COVID vaccines and or to recover. What do you think of that?
Well, see, that's the thing, is that there's saturation being reached. There's the people that wanted to get it, they're perfectly at, you know, their own choice to do so, and that's the way it should be. But those that don't are saying, no, I'm not going to do this. And if, in fact, we have a percentage, and I don't know if it's 50% or 80% of the people that are finally going to say, no, I'm done, I'm not going to do this, there will have to be some adjustment made by our tyrants, because they cannot run the economy. It will be in the tank. And yes, you're right. If this thing really worked, if people really believed in it, do you think you'd have to have celebrities hawking this thing on the street? Do you think you'd have to have bribes being offered in the terms of time off or whatever? Do you think you'd have to have lottery drawings? You'd have to even offer free beer, which is what they're doing in some areas, to get this stuff. No, if it was really a credible thing. But people are starting to say, wait, it doesn't prevent the disease. It doesn't prevent the spread. It doesn't have anything. I mean, people are getting it at the same rate they got it before, only their cycles they're running on the faulty PCR test have been reduced down to make it look like they're having some value. But if you'd ramp those up again, you'd find that it was the same percentage of positives. People are starting to say, you know what, this just stinks. It doesn't make any sense, and we're done with it. And there are some courageous people out there in some high places, very few, I must admit. Utah is, our home state, is looking at what DeWine's doing in Ohio with his lottery, in spite of the fact that Utah's Constitution, Article 6, Section 27, specifically says you can't do this kind of thing with a lottery, a drawing to do this. And our governor is saying, well, we'll find a way around that. I mean, Utah's governor is among the most cowardly of all of them, I would say. And in spite of the fact we're undeclared on some of these things because we have this quote-unquote red state aura about us, the state is every bit as much socialist and controlling and conniving and tyrannical as any other state that's out there. It's just that they work behind the scenes with businesses to say, look, we're not going to enforce this with the sheriff at the door, but look, you guys better do it because we're going to do $10,000 a day fine on you. By the way, did you see DeSantis down in Florida is going to pardon probably those that have had those kind of draconian tickets written for them? Did you see that? I don't know if he's fully pardoned the people yet, but he's put on hold any of their stipulations of penalties. And I think the way their constitution is written, he has to have two of his cabinet members agree that they can be pardoned. But anyway, there's movement in that direction. But there's people out there that are still bowing the knee, and I think as long as that happens, we're going to still see these kind of things. And I truly think that when it comes down to the people say, no, I will not fly. I will not go on a cruise. I will not shop in your store. There's going to become some flexibility. I mean, we have to have follow the money. That's what is making this thing what it is, because there's billions upon billions, probably trillions of dollars that are out there for these people that are fostering this. And there's an economy out there that's saying, I won't do business with people like that, that may be able to push back and say, I'm not going to give you my money if you continue along this insisting of what's going to happen. So I don't know. I think that there's a tussling match that's going to go on, and I don't think that I, for one, am not ready to capitulate, and I hope Americans are willing to go the distance, if you will, on this thing and finally win this battle, because it's an internal scam that's being foisted upon the nation. And you talk about, I don't know if we want to open this box or not, but you mentioned it earlier about who was involved in the development of this and everything. I truly believe, and I've believed this for 14 months because of some of the evidence, that there was gain of function going on an existing virus illegally, unconstitutionally, being carried out in America, and they offshored it. And the gain of function stuff is what are we doing? We're paying people to make viruses more virulent, to make them more deadly, to make them more easily caught and more effective in making people sick. What are we doing? And there's people in this country that are doing that kind of thing. And we're paying taxpayer dollars for this. And I suspect when the truth is really known, we're going to find that some of that research was being done and facilitated on the East Coast of the United States with CDC money involved. And that is going to, that should be criminal charges, mass murder charges carried out on anybody that had anything to do with that. I would encourage that.
Now think about this, ladies and gentlemen. Again, everything they do has a caveat which proves how dishonest they are on their agenda. Here it is. Under the Americans Rescue Plan Act, employers with 500 or fewer employees can receive payroll tax credits for paid time off they give their people to get the COVID-19 vaccine or, recover from any potential side effects. Now, if they're safe and effective, how would you give tax breaks to recover from side effects? Doctor, how stupid am I? There you have it. I'm just saying, I don't understand it, folks, but it's evident in everything they're doing that they're gunning for literally a vaccine passport, which will turn into eventually social credits. What if you speak out against the vaccine? It'll be a ding to your social credit. Maybe you ought to not go to that sports game you had tickets for, huh? Your dishonest lies. That's where they're headed. For Dr. Bradley and Sam Bushman, God save the Republic.